Hundreds of thousands of people have filed unemployment claims here in Wisconsin. The State Department of Workforce Development saw a record high of those claims earlier during this pandemic, and not everyone who's applied and been approved for unemployment benefits has gotten payments. That means some people can't make ends meet, and they're in jeopardy of losing their homes. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about evictions in Wisconsin here on the Ideas Network, and you're part of this conversation. So we're wondering, are you worried about losing your home right now? How have you figured out how to work with a landlord to make sure that you don't have to leave your apartment or your house? What questions do you have about your rights? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you at that number, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Rafael Ramos is an attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin, where he serves as the coordinator for Legal Action's Eviction Defense Project. He joins us now to talk about evictions. Rafael, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me.
How has this pandemic affected renters' ability to keep up financially?
Well, I think, the answer is not going to be surprising. It's made it harder for people to make rent. You know, I think the thing that coronavirus has done, maybe more than anything else, is really kind of illustrated how many people in the country really live on the razor's edge of poverty. And what it's done is it's moved the line a little bit farther, so that people who were once safe and relatively stable are now facing the risk of eviction and unemployment in ways that they haven't before. So I think, you know, as people lose jobs or are furloughed because of COVID-19, they find it harder to do things that they were able to do in the past. And that's adding to a group of people who previously were at risk of those sorts of things. So I think it's made it much harder for people economically, just because the resources that they used to use to make payments just is not there.
Sure. So that steady paycheck came in and then went out to expenses. And now that it's not coming in, there's no source so that you can pay those bills. And you wind up having to choose, right, what you pay?
Exactly. And people have to prioritize. I mean, one of the things that's kind of been a constant theme for us when talking about housing is the affordability of the housing and what people need to pay for housing in order to pay for everything else in their life. You know, the idea that 30% of your income should go to housing is making that affordable has been a consistent theme even before the coronavirus. But now with income and resources being reduced, people have to make a choice. Are you going to pay your rent? Are you going to buy groceries for your family? And it's a difficult position for anyone to be in.
Wisconsin had an eviction moratorium during this pandemic. It ended on May 26th. What's happened to the status of renters then who are facing evictions after this date? What's changed now?
So it's a great question, and it's a little complicated. So the eviction moratorium that went into place, it did, as you said, end on May 26th. And what the moratorium did was put a prohibition on landlords to stop them from filing eviction actions in court, as well as prohibit them from giving notices terminating tenancies, for example, for failure to pay rent during that moratorium. And as far as the eviction process is concerned, the notice is the first step in the eviction process. So the ban basically stopped prohibited landlords from taking that first step because of the issues caused by coronavirus. So now what tenants are seeing is are now in the position where those notices are starting to come through. And as soon as those notices expire, that's when tenants can unfortunately expect to see the eviction case actually filed in court to start the eviction process to have somebody removed from their home.
Rafael Ramos is an attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin. He's the coordinator for the Eviction Defense Project. And we're taking your calls if you have questions about the evictions process in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. Maybe you're a renter, perhaps you're a landlord. What do you want people to know, or what question do you have about the legal process as you figure out what happens in your life? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. So, Rafael, you began to explain the eviction process, and it really is a process, right? Can you walk us through what those proceedings look like?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I think I'd like to start with reiterating that it is a process that a landlord has to go through to remove someone, to remove a tenant from a property. If a tenant's in a position where the landlord has not gone through the eviction process in court, that's what we call a self-help eviction, and that is illegal. It's not allowed. And that is something we saw. So that is something I wanted to make sure people understood, is that that is not something that's appropriate. So, for example, we saw some clients who had their power and water turned off during the eviction moratorium in lieu of an eviction case being filed. And the appropriate action there is to call the police, call the sheriff's office to help restore you to your property, restore you to those services until the process can take place. So I just wanted to mention that at the outset, because I think that's a very important thing for people to know. It hopefully doesn't happen too often, but, you know, it is something that needs to be addressed. As far as the process goes, you know, the eviction is, by definition, the court process. And after getting a notice, like I mentioned earlier, a landlord is entitled to file an eviction action to have a tenant removed from their property, removed with the assistance, essentially, of the sheriff's office. The notice that they get, it changes depending on the type of tenancy and depending on the reason for why the eviction is happening. So, for example, a tenant who's behind on rent will typically get a five-day notice saying that they have 5 days to either pay rent or to move out of the property in order to avoid the eviction filing.
There's an opportunity. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've lost your home. It means this is your final opportunity to make a decision which way you have to go.
Exactly, yeah. And that five-day cure period is really critical, because if you cure the issue, if you remedy the problem by paying rent or by moving, that stops a landlord from being able to file the eviction and stops CCAP from having the record of that eviction action against you, which, as we've seen, as we've heard so many times, is a problem for renters as they try to find new housing.
And there are many rights that tenants do have. Also, landlords, you know, follow certain rules and have rights of their own. Where should we go to find that information? I mean, certainly we'll continue talking with you about it now, but is there a place we should go to look for that?
Sure. Well, you know, so being a lawyer, the statutes, the regulations obviously have the definitive explanation of rights and responsibilities. That's obviously going to be a little dense for a lot of people, but there are other resources that are available. There are in Milwaukee, there's a newly created rental housing resource center. It's basically a collaboration between tenant advocates like Legal Action, as well as landlord groups and community service groups like community advocates, where they have resources to help people deal with landlord-tenant related issues on both sides of the equation.
All right. We'll keep talking about it here. Our conversation with Rafael Ramos continues as we talk about evictions here in Wisconsin, tenant rights, landlord rights, what the law really says. We're taking your questions at 800-642-1234. You're listening to this conversation on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Eviction is a scary word for most people, and it's a real possibility for people who can't pay their rent. That's true as record numbers of people in our state have lost work and are trying to figure out how to make money to support their families. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show with attorney Rafael Ramos. I'm Keely Boltina, and there's room for you in this discussion. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Are you facing eviction? Are you worried that you might not be able to pay rent next month and you're wondering what your options are? What questions do you have about renting and tenants' rights here in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234, that number again. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Rafael, depending on where you live, there could be some room in between paying your rent fully, on time, all the time, and being evicted. What options do people have at any point during the court process, even ahead of missing that first payment?
Sure. Well, I think one thing that people should know is, you know, one of the main issues that people end up being evicted, either pre-COVID or not, is basically a failure to communicate with the landlord. And right now, especially when so many people are unable to make payments, I think it's really important for people to try to talk if they can, if the relationship allows for it, especially now because there are a lot of resources that are available that didn't exist pre-COVID-19. You know, for example, if a tenant is trying to pursue Wisconsin rent assistance payments, that money can help them make up what they owe. And if they're able to communicate with the landlord and work together to figure out an opportune time to make those payments, hopefully you can avoid the actual eviction filing and the entire court process entirely by working something out between parties. So that's kind of where I think people should try to start, because unfortunately the laws really are what they are. And if you fall behind on rent, if you don't make a payment within that cure period that we discussed, then you are at risk of eviction. And the only real way to avoid that is to work together to try to resolve the issue.
We've got Joe from Madison ready to talk with us. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I had a question. I know we're talking about Wisconsin. I'm from here in Madison, but my mom this weekend called me saying that she's behind $244 in rent because her landlord, knowing that she was getting a stimulus check, or pretty much everybody in the apartment complex was getting a stimulus check, they raised the rent. she used the stimulus check for other bills that she was behind on and medications that she hadn't been able to get. She was able to get this time with a stimulus check and fix her vehicle. But I was wondering, like, is that fair? Should there be a place that I can help guide her to find out if this was fair? I mean, I know she's in Texas, but I just feel like that was unfair for them to raise the rent just because they knew she was getting a stimulus check.
Yeah, Joe, thanks.
I think my answer off the air. Thanks.
Certainly. Joe, thanks for that question. And Rafael, the difference between fair and legal might be pretty significant in some of these cases. What about Joe's mom's circumstance?
Yeah, I think it's an important distinction to make. You know, unfortunately, there is a difference between what is fair and what is legal. And I obviously can't opine as to what the specific situation is down in Texas. But here in Wisconsin, there's no prohibition against landlords raising rents right now due to COVID, you know, during COVID-19 and the health crisis. There are prohibitions against them imposing late fees for payments, but theoretically, they could legally raise rent, legally. But there is a question of whether that's appropriate or fair at this time. And regrettably, there's not a lot that anyone can do from the legal side of things to stop someone from doing that. But if people are using stimulus checks to make payments, and those payments are late, one thing that we would definitely recommend is that people try to make sure to document that agreement to try to protect themselves and insulate themselves from a future potential suit, so that if the payment's late, they at least have some sort of proof that that was part of an agreement between parties. But yeah, as far as raising rent goes, it's unfortunate, and it's particularly brutal right now, but it's not illegal, at least not in Wisconsin. You know, in Texas, they should look because each state has taken a different approach. But here, that's something that landlords are allowed to do.
So search around for advocates in Texas to see maybe if Joe can find out some more information.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, okay. I think one thing to know is that there are landlords who are doing things like that that are morally questionable. But there are also a lot of landlords who are deferring eviction actions at this time. And that's important to remember, too. And that's one of the reasons why I urged communication earlier, because you never know who you're working with, and avoiding eviction is something that really will take a communal response right now.
Yeah, we're talking with Rafael Ramos, who's an attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin, serves as the coordinator for the Eviction Defense Project. And we had Sylvester call in. They were wondering, you know, if someone has a newborn baby, would a landlord take that into account? I mean, our family circumstances considered, and you're saying some landlords will.
Yeah, it's always case by case. Again, legally, having a newborn baby does not entitle anyone to any additional protections under the law. It does, as a lot of people know, and potentially entitle you to additional resources. You know, for example, CARES Act stimulus money, additional children should give someone access to more financial support. But it doesn't insulate or protect you from an eviction. So, you know, working through that situation is important. And then if you can't, reaching out to resources like Legal Action or other community service organizations to try to find what assistance you can and what other opportunities may exist.
Greg from Milwaukee has given us a call now, has a question. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Okay, I was wondering, there's sometimes remedies in 401ks, my particular plan has a remedy for hardship to avoid eviction. And what I'm wondering is, do you have to be in the actual process? Does it have to be filed by the landlord before you can access those funds? Or is that dependent upon the particular fund manager?
Thanks for the question, Greg. Rafael, any idea about that?
That's a really good point, actually. That's not something that we hear a lot of. That is something that I would suggest that you speak directly to your fund manager about. You know, I'm not familiar with the specifics of Greg's 401k, but there are different resources available that, you know, public resources, rent assistance, emergency assistance, that requires a showing that the eviction is imminent, if not already in process. So if, you know, one thing that may be worth showing the 401k fund manager is if you've received a notice terminating tenancy, which is essentially the immediate precursor to filing, you know, that might be sufficient to show that the threat of eviction is real and that they need access to those funds. You know, otherwise communication indicating that the eviction is on its way might be able to convince someone, but again, unfortunately, because it's going to be specific to that 401k, I think you need to work with the different fund managers that you have. But that's a great idea to go to that as a resource.
Yeah, not state law, Greg. So maybe that's an option for you to look into for sure. Rafael, your offices, the Legal Action of Wisconsin's physical offices are closed. We've seen courts have to pivot during even regardless of the hearings, but including eviction hearings. So what have courts done in Wisconsin to make those hearings accessible to tenants?
So the courts are in a very difficult spot right now. Obviously, we're trying to maintain social distancing, trying to keep the coronavirus at bay. And to do that, the court has largely moved to remote hearings, using Zoom or teleconferencing is the primary means through which the small claims court, which is what handles evictions in Milwaukee, is handling those hearings. So people really need to be on the lookout in the mail for notices from the court, because the notice will contain the information you need to participate in that hearing. And that's particularly true if people have moved. They really need to update the court to let them know where they are so that they can get that notice. Because the same as it was with physical appearances, if you do not show up for your hearing, even virtually, there is a very, very high likelihood that the court will have to enter what's called a default judgment, where they essentially grant the eviction because the tenant, the defendant, didn't appear. And that's really the biggest concern that we have as advocates is this process fair right now? And the court is doing what it can, but you know, there's no physical courthouse to go to at the moment.
Rafael, thank you for joining us this morning.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for talking about these important issues.
Rafael Ramos is an attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin, where he serves as the coordinator for Legal Action's Eviction Defense Project. We've been talking about options for tenants who can't pay their rent and how evictions work in Wisconsin. We've also posted links to the resources we mentioned online at wpr.org/mornings. Up next is news. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.